Nesbitt with PoetryForKids.com, and today I have the pleasure of interviewing a very silly, dilly author known as Alan Katz. You probably know him as that guy that wrote the book, Take Me Out of the Bathtub. Now, Alan, you're mostly known for your silly dilly songbooks, which are like poetry books where all the poems are set to well-known songs. But you've written a lot more than that, haven't you? Would you mind telling us a little bit about some of your other projects?
Well, sure. You're right, Ken. David Catro and I have done 9 silly dilly songbooks. But in addition, we did a book called Don't Say That Word, which is a picture book that I think is a great deal of fun. Did a board book called Karate Pig that is the story of a pig who likes to chop things in half, including the book. That's a couple of years ago we did that. Daniel Morton and I did that for Little Simon.
Yep.
And I've also done a couple of poetry books, one of which is called Oops, It Was 100 Poems, plus there's some stories in the back about my life as a writer and creativity. That was illustrated by Ed Koren, who you may recognize from The New Yorker or The New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a new one now that's just hitting stores called Poems I Wrote When No One Was Looking. Another 100 poems by me, another 100 or so illustrations by Ed Koren, and we're having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, and I saw your post today online where you said that it is already the number one selling book in America with that title.
Yes, I am very, very proud of that. It's also the third best-selling book among my 4 kids. and hopefully, I'm not sure we'll make it to number one, but with one of my sons on the case, it may go to number 2.
Excellent. Well, I hope you have your kids going door-to-door with it.
They do more than door-to-door. Every time we walk into a wonderful bookstore, and let's face it, all bookstores are wonderful, they actually ask for the book as if they're going to buy it and then put it in the window or right up front. I guess most authors, illustrators' kids do that. But with 4 kids, we get a lot of good coverage.
Wow. Excellent. I'm going to have more kids then because I've got the same issue. So here's a question for you. I'm sure that when you talk to kids, you probably get questions like, you know, what inspires you and where do you get your ideas? I just want to know one thing. I want to know, with a book this large, and Poems I Wrote When No One Was Looking, this is your second large collection, what I want to know is, how long did it take you to write this?
Well, you know, it took my whole career, I suppose, to write this, because the actual writing, I mean, I just love writing, and let's face it, we're all writers, we all use the same 26 letters of the alphabet, and we all rearrange them in different ways. But the book is made up of poems of my childhood and things that happened to my kids and things that that have happened to friends. So I guess I've been studying. That's what writers do. We look around and we observe something and then I try to put a funny spin on it. But that's what we all do every day. You may look at a squirrel and think about a story about a squirrel, about, you know, the magic that he can do once he climbs his magic tree, whereas I might, you know, tell a whole different story about that same squirrel. We're both writing about a squirrel, but we're telling a different story. And that's, you know, these 100 poems are very different than the other 100 poems in Oops, but they all have the same kind of comedic spin.
Well, that leads to a rather practical question, though, then. If you have been collecting these ideas your whole life, and I'm sure some of them you literally collect, that is, you probably write the ideas down somewhere. Do you have some sort of mechanism for capturing your ideas? Do you keep a notebook? Do you have an audio recorder? What do you do when you actually want to make sure you don't lose one of those brilliant ideas that flies through your head?
Well, thank you for calling them brilliant. But the ideas themselves, I think I do have. I always have, you know, either a notebook with me or scraps of paper, because you never know where an idea is going to strike. And you know, as long as I'm not driving and not doing anything unsafe, I'll pull up a scrap of paper I've written on the back of McDonald's wrappers or whatever necessary, and type it later. I do want to tell you, by the way, in Oops, I reprinted my third grade report card, my actual third grade report card.
Nice.
Because here's what the teacher wrote about me. Mrs. Smith wrote about me many, many years ago, and it's on the actual report card that's reprinted in the book. She wrote, "Alan must work toward expressing his written ideas more creatively." She was saying, "Alan, be a better writer." And I set my goals on being a better writer because, you know, let's face it, whatever job you want to do when you grow up, whether you want to be an astronaut or a plumber or a doctor or a a librarian or a teacher or, you know, anything, you can achieve that goal, but it's going to take good writing and it's going to take good reading. And the more you read, the better you write, and the more you write, the better you read.
Yeah. So it was it, do you credit Mrs. Smith from your third grade class as having inspired you to want to become a writer? I mean, why do you write poetry?
Well, I just love the idea that I can write something and I can think something that might make people laugh, or might make people think of things a different way, or might help them come up with their own ideas. You know, there's a poem in Oops that is the simplest poem you're going to hear in your whole life.
Okay.
And it seems to be everybody's favorite. And after I read it in a school, or after a reader writes a note to me, invariably they say, well, I could have written that. And I say, of course you could have written that. And they say, I have an idea for a poem. And then whether they put pen to paper or keys to keyboard or they just say it out loud, it inspires them to come up with their own poem or poems. Here's the poem. And okay. I recognize that it's a very simple poem. It's called The Lollipop. You ready?
Ready.
Lick, 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 lick. Lick, 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 lick. Lick, 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 lick. Lick, 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 lick. Stick. After all those licks, what do you have left? Just the stick.
A stick.
Well, you know, kids have sent me poems about their ice cream cone and, you know, lick, 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 drop or plop or whatever. That's just as great. That's just as wonderful a poem because it came from someone else's brain and someone else's creative imagination. We're all creative people.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So would you be willing to share a poem from Poems I Wrote When No One Was Looking?
Oh, my pleasure. And let's see. I have a couple of short ones and a couple of long ones. So you tell me what you'd like to hear. If I read one and you like it, I'll read more. If not, we can never speak to each other again.
All right. I'm ready.
Here's a poem called Ch-ch-ch-check, please. And it goes like this. I only eat foods that begin with C-H, like chicken and churros and chili. If you're cooking dinner and there's no C-H, then trying to feed me is silly. Today I had chocolate and chickpeas and chips, chimichangas and chow mein and cheese. Tonight, chunky chowder is the only choice. Mom is out of CH recipes. She ordered a cookbook that's coming tomorrow. Mom promised great food she'll be making. It will be a menu of new CH treats, like chameatloaf, cha omelets, cha bacon. I know that's pretty silly.
No. I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. Now, I've got a question for you, and I do want you to share another poem or two with us, but I have a question for you first. When you talk to kids who tell you that they want to be poets, or that they want to be writers, or they want to grow up to be just like you, what do you tell them?
Well, I tell them that you don't grow up to be a writer, you don't grow up to be a poet, you sit down and you do it right now. You know, if you want to grow up to be an astronaut, you need a rocket, you need special training. What do you need to be a poet? You need, poems don't have to be funny. They don't have to be serious. They don't have to rhyme. They just have to express what's on your mind. So when someone says, someday I'm going to be a poet, I say, nope, you're a poet right now. And, you know, a student said to me recently, I didn't know you could write poetry whenever you feel like it. Well, of course you can. You can read poetry. You can write poetry. You can write any form or read any form that's appropriate for your age whenever you want to.
I love that. I love that because I often tell kids, you know, you can write poems about anything, but I'm gonna have to add what you just said, which is you can write poems anytime you feel like it as well.
Absolutely. I think that's, you know, it's a very powerful piece of information. You know, there are jobs that take a lot of training and a lot of technical, you know, machinery and things like that. And that can be your goal for someday. But right now, you have a pencil, you have a piece of paper, you are in the writing business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So tell us, Alan, what is up next for you? You had this tease online today that you've got a big announcement coming up. And I don't want you to, you know, give away any secrets today. But have you got anything that you can tell us about that you're working on?
Well, sure. There is a big announcement coming over the next few weeks, and it's going to involve poetry. I can tell you that.
Wonderful.
And kids and poetry and a really, really, I think, a lot of fun way to get everybody reading and writing. And I'm working on some longer form things as well, trying to figure out how to maybe do a chapter book or two over the next year or so. And will be announcing those pretty soon, I hope.
Good.
And just continue to read and write and visit schools. I've been all over the country this year and continue to do that, and love meeting teachers and students and librarians and principals and everybody dedicated to reading and writing. And just I have a great deal of fun doing that.
Good, good. Well, before we say goodbye, do you have maybe one more poem you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Well, sure. How about this? And there's a double meaning on this one. I think you'll laugh. This one's called Shh, S-H-H-H-H-H. It says, please don't bang or slam or buzz. And please, no loud banshee-ing. Do not clink and do not clunk. I'm automata-peeing.
And close the door.
Absolutely. Automatopoeia, of course, everybody knows, is using an automatopoeia, which is a part of language in which it's things like bang and clunk and click and all that, words that sound like the noises they make.
Absolutely. Well, it has been absolutely wonderful talking with you today, Alan. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to share some of your poetry and tell us a little bit about your life. And best of luck to you on all of your upcoming projects.
Well, thank you. What a pleasure. And I hope everybody who's listening to this goes and writes a poem today. That would be a nice treat for both of us, I think.
I hope so, too. I will encourage everyone to do the same.
Thanks so much.
Take care.
Take care.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. This is Ken Nesbitt with PoetryForKids.com. This has been an interview with Alan Katz, the creator of the Silly Dilly Songbooks, Take Me Out of the Bathtub, and many others, and a new collection of poetry called Poems I Wrote.